Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin, but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Let the shenanigans begin.
Who or what chased you, or who or what did you have to chase? 206-421-RUN.
Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, guys.
Hola.
How you guys doing?
Doing great, man. Thanks, brother.
Good. So when I was a kid, one of my chores was to pick up the garbage that the raccoons had spread out all over my yard. So I got tired of it one weekend. I had my brother over, and I had a buddy of ours over, and we're probably 10 years old, and we had pellet guns, you know? And so we camped out in the yard just in sleeping bags waiting for the raccoons to come, and sure enough, they did. And I saw three of them initially, but there was like six of them. And I shot one in the chest, and it immediately just started clawing at itself, and then it just looked at us and started charging for us. And, you know, we're kids, so we're just sprinting from this raccoon. I've got a...
Hello.
And, yeah, on the one side of our house, it was only like a 5 foot, you know, like from our gutter line to our grass was only like 4 or 5 feet. And so I was the tallest one. So I jumped up there and I pulled my two buddies up and, you know, we waited for him to leave, and when we get down, we're like kind of like reenacting the moment as kids do, and I'm like showing him how I was running real fast, had my hand or my knife in my hand still, and I stabbed myself like a quarter of an inch right below my eye.
Oh, Jesus, man!
And the next day it was Father's Day, so I went into the house and I gave my dad this knife, and the rancher gave me this knife. It was like a $350 knife when I used to do rodeo and stuff for cutting rope. And I gave it to my dad, and he was like, oh, you love this knife. Why are you doing that? And he looked at my eye. What happened? I was like, oh, I'm just not ready for it yet.
I guess when you come in, you stab yourself in the face, I'd be like, son, you're right. Okay, I have two questions for you. One, you said you had to wait for the raccoons to leave after you climbed up a bit. How long were they down there screaming at you?
They stuck around for like a good half hour.
Jesus, man.
And when you say you do rodeo, or you did rodeo, what kind of rodeo did you do?
Well, so my growing up, I worked for a rancher on Whidbey Island, which I thought was funny because the guy before me.
Was it on Monkey Hill?
Whidbey Island.
All the bulls on Whidbey Island?
I never heard of Monkey Hill, though.
Okay, I was going to say.
It's where the bulls are, Matthew.
Yeah.
No, we did events. We did, like, barrel racing and stuff like that. We wrangled some, you know, cattle. We did roping and all that kind of stuff.
Did you do this? Were you already involved in rodeo at the time that the raccoons chased your ass?
Yeah, that was the sad part.
I was going to say, I mean, you're dealing with animals that weigh multiple hundreds of pounds and all this stuff, and I know you're trained for it, but still, did you feel silly running from the raccoons? Now, don't feel bad, because I would have run too, no doubt.
Well, in my defense, the only thing that you come up, you know, if you're going to do rodeo, the only thing that's really out to get you is a bull, you know, and I didn't mess around too much with bulls. And horses, they don't got claws and nasty teeth. You know, I mean, you might catch a nip on the shoulder here and there.
But they kick people, man. I mean,
did you ever get chased by a bull?
Yeah, but that was my fault. We're kids growing up in a farm community, so we used to slap the ass.
And how long does it take for the bull to decide that that was a bad idea?
Immediately, you have to have a distraction guy in place.
So you're doing this on a dare. Like, okay, I'm going to run up. I'm going to slap this bull's ass. You stand over there, Kurt. You just wave your arms in the air, see what happens.
Yeah, assuming that the other person said they're going to do it too, does it?
Okay.
Now, are bulls that easily distracted? Because, you know, my thought is, all right, you know, with a human being, Miles, you go up, punch that guy in the face. Now, I'm going to distract him. You know, in the human world, that guy's not distracted. He's going to go beat Miles' ass regardless of what I'm doing. So does that really work with bulls? Like, if you act a fool, they will just turn their attention to you?
If you make a lot of noise and ruckus and they're already mad, they pretty much tend to go after whatever gets their attention. So, okay. I mean, obviously the initial slap got their attention, but if you have some idiot in the ring screaming and yelling, hooting and hollering, and it's a straight beeline for that bull, it's going to go for the easy target.
I mean, that's basically what rodeo clowns do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just distractions. They get paid very well.
Well, yeah, because...
You'd have to.
That's the tough... I mean, that seems pretty dangerous.
They don't have that long of a lifespan, I doubt.
I just wonder what the hell goes on Whidbey Island now.
Yeah,
I'm just like, what the hell's going on there?
What's the general mentality of your average rodeo clown? Like, are they big drinkers? Are they? I mean, what did they do before?
They're unsettling people. I've not personally hung out with a bunch of them, but like you see them when you go out and do the events.
What level could you? Is it like carny level?
It's a little further than that. It depends on where out in the U.S. you are. I've noticed. I mean, some places, you know, you catch some normal people, but for the most part, these guys are, you know, they're clowns for a living, and I don't know.
Yeah, but these are not clowns.
If you do anything long enough, you become it.
But they're not making balloon animals at Billy's 8th birthday party. Like, they actively are trying to get the attention of a bull that's in a really bad mood.
Yeah, and kind of hype the crowd and keep everyone's attention.
God, that's
that
not like a clown to me. That's
no, but you got to put clown makeup on before you go out there.
To me, that's just a crazy person hiding their face.
It's almost like the mascot for rodeo.
Right. I mean, like, Bozo the Clown did not do that on his show. You know, he sprayed people in the face with water out of a flower. You know what I'm saying? Like, Krusty the Clown on The Simpsons does not on the side. I don't feel like there's a lot of clown crossover. Like, well, on the weekends, I make balloon animals for the kids, and then during the week, I'm with the rodeo.
Yeah, the rodeo clown. He's a different individual.
I don't think they have enough time. I mean, believe it or not, that's a heck of a schedule. Those guys travel a lot. I mean, there's not that many people that do that profession, so the ones that do are in high demand.
Think about it. You put an ad in the paper like, hey, have you ever dreamed of being chased by a 600-pound animal that's angry? Like, I sure have.
My dad's he's a rodeo clown.
They do save the. I mean, they do a great job in those rings.
Yeah.
I'm not questioning what they pull off. It's my motivation to do that. Like you said, it's a lot of dangerous jobs. But you understand generally, you know, their safety precautions go in place. And I'm sure they have safety precautions, but also you're dealing with an angry animal.
A safety precaution being, I'm going to dive into this barrel and hope I don't die. I mean, what is that?
Like, that's your best option. Right. Like, I'll just hide this barrel.
Yeah, great.
And the bull's still going to ram the hell out of it.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Yes, friends, it's time once again for Sit and Spin. Let's gather around the old radio and listen to some swellerific new music.
Oh, there it is! Still in his basement. The studio, the bar, the dungeon. It is Ryan Castle.
Hey, to be honest with you guys, my days are all messed up because we had yesterday off, and I almost walked out of here at 4 o'clock to go down the street and get a drink, and I was like, oh, wait, I've got to do Sit and Spin today.
Yes.
Almost completely forgot.
I guess so. Well, you know what, man?
So now, now I'm just drinking at home again like a regular person on the radio.
is your basement at least somewhat cool? It's 85 degrees out there.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. Basement's great, man. Basement stays nice and cool all of the time.
Are you upstairs yelling down to your phone that's still in the basement?
No, sir. I am. Why? Does it sound weird?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just, you sound not really if you're in a well.
Yeah. It's like you're in a big cave. It doesn't really matter. You're in your basement.
That's really.
Do you now wish you would have put in air conditioning when you put in that brand new kitchen?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No, we don't need AC, man. It's we have one of those little portable things up in our bedroom, and it's totally fine.
Okay.
I mean, look, we're cool all the time.
Well, what we are hoping is now that you got that kitchen done, that you would maybe put in a pool so we could all go over and enjoy,
it worth our time.
Sunny afternoon. You have plenty of room back there in the backyard.
I do keep a kiddie pool in the furnace room full of creamy peanut butter where it's nice and cool if you want to cool down. And then afterwards, we can have sandwiches.
Okay.
With the same peanut butter you were just in.
Well, I don't know why. The idea of a pool filled with peanut butter is just creepy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Is that weird?
Yeah. Well, let us know where you're going at the end of this. Maybe we'll catch up with you here about 6:37-ish. You never know.
Might be a
good day for a frothy. But all right, today on Sit and Spin, we're going to talk about the people who graduated college in the music business. There's not a lot of them out there, but you normally don't think of college and musicians hand in hand, unless you're like a symphony type of,
not professional. Right in the rock or pop world. I want to say the only band I can think of, they might be on the list, I don't know, who's the Offspring. Like, they put the band together. They didn't put the band together as a joke, but they were studying like real heady stuff in college. They put together this band, and they were like, we couldn't believe we got approached for a record contract. Like, that
wasn't they're playing for fun.
Yeah, it wasn't their goal at all. And they're like, hell with it. I'd rather be a rock star and get laid.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've got musicians that actually graduated college. Do you have their college and all that stuff and their degree there, Castle?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In honor of graduation season.
Yeah, absolutely.
10, number 10. If you be my
bodyguard, I can this be makes sense. It makes sense that Paul Simon graduated college because he sounds kind of dull and boring.
Here's a fun fact about Paul Simon, besides the fact that he graduated from Queens College in 1963, and that is, I never liked Paul Simon.
I believe you mentioned that before.
I don't know if I've mentioned that.
He graduated in 1963.
From Queens College.
Wow.
What did he get a degree in? How to write uninspiring music.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He did well.
10 musicians. Hey, he graduated. It's all about Garfunkel. It's all about the paper. These are 10 musicians who graduated college on Sin Spin.
Number 9.
Now, this would be Brian May.
Brian May.
That would be Brian May. But that's Dr. Brian May, who went to Imperial College London and graduated in 1968.
What kind of doctor?
He's a doctorate.
But I want to say, it's not like medical. I think it's like...
It was astrophysics? Was he I think he's astrophysics.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Still kind of a big deal.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to play my band.
Like Neil deGrasse Tyson, big deal.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
These are 10 musicians that graduated college on Sit and Spin.
Eight, number 8.
Oh, there we go.
There is. Yeah, so Dexter is also a doctor. Dexter got his PhD from USC finally back in 2017. So he had given up on his PhD to go out and be in the Offspring because that was happening. Finally in 2017, went back, finished his PhD, did a 175 dissertation on the molecular dynamics of HIV.
Which is what you expect from the guys in Offspring.
That's crazy.
That is kind of wild.
I mean, like, Jesus Christ. Right. Okay.
From the guy that wrote, Why Don't You Get a Job?
Or Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
Pretty Fly for a White Guy.
And he's a doctor.
Right.
These are 10 musicians that graduated college. I'm Sit and Spin.
Number 7. Anybody?
Freddie Mercury graduated from dental school.
He went to art college.
Art college.
So what did he do? Did he draw the turtle or did he draw the pirate?
College.
And that sounds about right. He's that guy,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, you totally. Go like, yeah, okay.
So two members of Queen.
Ealing Art College, okay. 1969.
These are 10 musicians that graduated college on Sit and Spin.
Sit number six.
Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire.
Jim Morris, the artist always. We all know he was in film school.
Of course. Of course he was.
He graduated from UCLA in 1965. And he said, one of his quotes said, I didn't want to go into the army and I didn't want to work. And that's the damned truth.
Sounds about like Jim Morrison, sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. He went, like, did art stuff.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You ever listen to that Jim Morrison poetry album, Ted?
I have not.
If you need a good laugh.
Yeah, get real stoned and listen to that. It's just ridiculous. He does a whole poem about his
American
penis.
American prayer, Ted.
Yes. These are 10 musicians that graduated college.
Number five. Roxanne.
I love these English colleges. They have the best names. Sting went to the Northern Counties College of Education and graduated in 1974.
Does it say what he mastered in? Or
tantric sex.
Tantric sex, yes.
I mean, it's Sting. I feel like it could be anything.
That's true.
Right, it could be anything. I feel like any one of the members of the police probably went to college. I would not
you
be
think
shocked.
Northern County's College of Education sounds like you would get a general education from college.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't think you live there. You know what I mean?
Right.
These are 10 musicians that graduated college on Sit and Spin.
Floor number four.
Anybody want to guess which member of KISS?
Gene Simmons.
Correct.
Business?
I want to say
Gene
education.
Went to Richmond College and graduated in 1970.
Because he was a school teacher for a while before.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
All right, good to want you to have a seat. Yeah. I'm going to tell you why I'm awesome.
Open up your books. Just open them. Please, just read something. Get anything in the brain.
Responsible for the spitball.
These are 10 musicians that graduated college on Sit and Spin.
Number three.
But I'm a creep.
So how about Thom from Radiohead graduated from University of Exeter in 1991. So right around the time this song was blowing up, dude was graduating from college.
They sound like a college band, though, you know?
I'm not going out until I get this degree. And what are you doing over there? Brian, you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you lose me?
Sounds like you're banging on the wall or something, trying to
wake your neighbor. I don't know what's going on.
Have you been kidnapped and you're in someone's trunk?
Everything here is normal. No, but I did lose several hours today that I cannot account for.
That's comforting. Yeah. These are 10 musicians that graduated college.
Number two.
Tom Morello has a master's in political science from Harvard. So for those of you that are shocked when Tom Morello says something about politics, you all have never listened to Rage Against the Machine's music, and also Tom Morello has a master's in political science from Harvard.
It'd be cool if Congress did, too. Mm-hmm. You know what I like about it? Somebody within the last year or so, they listen to some song from Rage Against the Machine. They're like, I'm tired of your political crap. Keep in mind, last time it came out like 20 years ago, right? But they're like, right. I'm tired of your political crap. So Tom Morello told him, do me a favor, listen to all of our songs. If you can find a song that's not about politics, I'm going to take it out of the catalog.
Yeah.
I'm going, good for you, man.
Right.
I think that's what I do.
I don't want to have that song be a Rage Against the Machine song.
These are 10 musicians that graduated college. We made it to number one.
Number one.
We do. I know just that buddy, Hottie.
Yes, Rivers Cuomo went to Harvard as well, and he graduated in 2006.
Yeah, it sounds like a college
so
band.
Rivers was a college man who, after success, went back to college and finally finished college.
That would explain why he had a sweater to steal.
Right.
You know? Take a ride, Castle.
Good,
we appreciate
good point,
it.
Miles. That's good comedy, too.
Yeah, thanks. Absolutely, man. I'm bringing it all day.
Reach out to the guys on Twitter at Men's Room Live. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
What happened in the air, flew through the air, fell from the sky, 206-421-ROCK.
Have you been on a helicopter?
Never.
Really? Never?
No, never have.
It's something you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think
see,
I
see, you think you do, all right? Because you're already scared of heights.
But it would be depending.
I was so excited about this idea. Like, I pushed for this. Absolutely, right? We're in Hawaii.
It's one of those where you lose your stomach a lot. See, I don't like that.
It's not pressurized. You notice that. I mean, obviously, we're not going as high as this guy went, but it is exceptionally loud. It's very cramped. But the thing that I remember most about it was, and granted, it's Hawaii, so there's just a lot of heat pockets and all this. But, I mean, this thing, you know, will drop 20 feet on the dime.
No.
Yeah, I mean.
No.
But it's constant, man. I mean, it's just. Once the thing took off, I'm like, this is going to be great. And about 30 seconds in, I'm like, I want to get the hell out of here. But it is a 30-minute thing, and you were just bouncing up and down the whole time. And like I said, the guy was a very capable pilot. It's not that. But, you know, anytime I've been in the air, it has been on a commercial jet, right? With the exception of skydiving, but I'm going to leave the plane anyway. But it's air conditioned. It's pressurized. You know what I mean? There's all this stuff. The helicopter, you're like, man, it's just kind of like you – And the machine.
Was it just right. Being like Magnum PI? Same thing. Like being on a helicopter in Hawaii.
That's what I'm thinking it's going to be like. It wasn't.
Was the guy wearing a Hawaiian shirt?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But here's the thing about the helicopter, all right? So, you know, if you get on a regular commercial jet, you know, they charge you extra because your bags are heavy or whatever the case. So on a helicopter, it's all about weight and then weight distribution. So not only do they figure out how much the cargo, being the passenger's, weighs, but then they will put you in different seats, right? So the things balance. And that already made me uneasy. Like, this seems like such a critical thing. And it is, and I understand. But in Hawaii, when we were there, my wife and I walk in. This is pre-kid, so it's just two of us. And they had a scale that used to, this is like, it's the lobby, all right? And there's a woman who writes down all your info. So, I mean, they get your height, and then they do the weight. So you step on the scale, and then this woman yells down to another guy who is going to figure out where you were placed in the helicopter. So whatever you weigh, I don't care who you've lied to. The scale told the truth, and they yell it down. This Samoan family came in, okay? And, I mean, they are gigantic, man. Just, I mean, just thick, built, not fat, just
big.
Big, right? And so they come strolling in, and they have two kids. And I'm telling you, their kids are maybe 8 and 10 years old. And I'm pretty sure his son at 8 years old weighed as much as I did.
Well, trust me. However old.
But the woman got on the scale, okay? And so my wife and I, you know, we're being courteous, but we're going to go ahead and watch that scale because it's one of those big analog, mm-hmm. It looks like a clock, right? So she gets on this thing, and the woman behind the counter who's taking all your info just yells to the bar, 280, right? So I just say to my wife, I do not want to be in a helicopter with them because, look, no, because the whole thing, they're going to fly together. But sure. I'm like, this is a big, built goddamn family. And as it worked out, me and my wife ended up on the helicopter with this frail old broad who probably weighed like 40 pounds, you know what I mean? So we get on this helicopter, and the old lady turns around because you have the headset on and you have to talk to the microphone because otherwise you hear nothing, right? So she turns around, looks at us, and she's a real sweet lady, and goes, I'm so glad I wasn't put with that family.
Jeez,
I was like, yeah.
We were at a Seahawks game one time, Mike, and of course we're wearing a Ravens jersey, so that's never good. And you know, Hody Nada's family was like two rows in front of us. It was like eight of their family members. And the one, I just thought to myself, and the eight-year-old kid, I thought, man, if someone tries to crab with me, I'm just going to grab this eight-year-old, and he's going to beat all their asses. Because this kid was already like 240 pounds, just a mountain of a kid.
But do you remember them walking up the stairs to our section, okay? So Lodi Nada, he was a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Right? And he played the
tackle, nose guard.
Dude is huge, but his family is built
like his. But his dad's bigger, his sister's bigger, his mom's bigger, his brothers are bigger.
But they're walking up, and they're wearing Ravens jerseys, and it's Ravens Seahawks. So there was a guy sitting in the row in front of us, and this is before the game started, but he's kind of talking smack, good-natured stuff, but he's yelling all this crap about the Ravens. He sees them wearing the Nada jersey, number 92. They're walking up, and he's about to say something. I tapped him. I say, hey, bro, that's Lodi Nada's family. He turned and looked at me and went, good looking out. I said, I'm just... You can yell at me all game. Do not address them, dude. It's going to end poorly.
What happened in the air, flew through the air, or fell from the sky? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, so I got hit with a little bit of karma. We're going down to outside of Astoria, this little town called Gearhart in Oregon.
All right.
And we were going, walking to the Fred Meyer there, and I was talking to my dad, and we were kind of reminiscing about some old times, driving down to the Oregon coast and having the back window down, and a bird going in and crapping on my grandma. Like, it flew into the window and on her blouse. So we're getting ready to go and walk inside the Fred Meyer. We're looking at all the stuff out in the garden area, and all of a sudden, I feel a raindrop, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? And I looked down at my shirt, and I got this big white seagull crap mark going down the side, and I wipe my face, and it is all over my face. It was absolutely terrible, and I go, and I'm with my wife at the time, and she's like, okay, well, let's get you cleaned up, and she goes and grabs a wet nap, and she's trying to go and help me out and get all of it off, and she's like, okay, I think I got all of it, and I went and suckered up, and I said, well, you give me a kiss? She grabbed another wet nut and kept on wiping me down.
Right. You know what? That's a good way to test it. Kiss me if I'm clean. Like, maybe not. How much poop comes out of an eagle?
I don't know. I just know that it was pretty good. Like, you get a kind of like the ketchup bottle, and you go and you squeeze the ketchup bottle onto the placemat or something like that if you're going to go dip your fries in it. It was kind of like that.
Thank you for ruining my hamburgers.
That was very descriptive.
Every time I grab a Heinz bottle.
I tried to do my best. Okay.
Want more of The Men's Room? Download the new podcast from Miles and Thrill, The Greatest Story Never Told. Time to open wide and sample Ted's meat and potatoes. Now, here's your host, head chef of The Men's Room, the Ted Nugent.
Head chef in the house. Oh, how's everybody doing out there?
Doing great.
Oh, you can hear it in my voice. You know, sometimes you get things locked down in the kitchen.
Most, okay.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you freeze certain items to serve them later.
Sure, okay, sure, yeah. Sure.
No. Sometimes you're locked out and frozen just because it's a computer.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll get back there and figure out what every individual state does hate. But right now, I just have some general terms.
Okay.
So they put out a list, and they just asked, you know, like every state obviously has weird things, right?
Sure.
It came up.
Okay.
So let's see. What are some things you think people hate in different states?
I mean, I'd imagine if I live in the Midwest, I either hate seafood because it's never
oysters.
Fresh, or I love seafood because I eat it rarely.
Maybe something like that.
All right, so a lot of it is the same stuff for a lot of states. The Midwest, though, a lot of it is anchovies. 12 states.
Hmm.
So you're looking at, like, Michigan, Ohio.
They didn't label states, did they?
They did not. And then there's a list. But every time I scroll down to the list, the page blinks off.
So I see.
I have a specific list.
So you got to
guess
the
state.
Now
you're
going to
do geography on this, I see.
Well, it's the Midwest. It's all anchovies.
Well, you either like anchovies or you don't. I love anchovies. I probably eat
them
a couple
times
a week.
A couple times a week?
Two or three times a week.
On a Caesar salad?
I get those
you just eat them.
I get those little Napolini ones that are wrapped in the caper. Oh, man, they're fantastic. Ew. I can plow through a whole can of
that. I will say this. Again, like, I like anchovies. I don't mind anchovies. I like them on a Caesar salad, but I've only had them on pizza a couple times. And just fish on pizza just doesn't do it
for
me.
Because it's hot, right?
Yeah.
And it ends up permeating everything.
I just grab a toothpick and go to town.
But anchovies was number two on the list. All right, so number six on the list was a tie between carrots and pickles.
I understand.
I don't know, man. I like both those things.
Look, people who really, really, really like pickles, they like pickles a lot.
And people that hate them, absolutely hate them.
People should eat more pickles.
It seems that people who eat raw carrots just eat them because they know they're supposed to. It's not that they taste the worst in the world. It's the best thing to put in the dip sometimes on the vegetable tray. But other than that, cooked carrots are delicious.
Ew, really? Most people I talk to, and look, I don't like carrots, but most people I talk to prefer raw carrots over cooked. I do not know why. That's just generally what I hear.
This won't shock you. I eat them both ways, but a cooked carrot is delicious.
It's more caramelized. It's a little sweeter.
Well, even if you just make like a Sunday stew.
Yeah, you put it in a roast, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Hook it up.
I feel like Ted's Mr. Rogers. Mm-hmm. I'm making my Sunday stew.
Yeah, but you do the baked vegetable tray, you know, with the squash.
Oh, yeah. Sheet pan vegetables.
Sure, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, well, that was one of my things this year. I was like, let's get back to like making meals on Sunday.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You put the wax paper down first?
Put them on foil.
Oh, good idea.
Yeah.
Less dishes.
All right, there's two states that they say they hate well-done steak.
Let me guess. Texas and North Carolina.
Illinois.
Actually, it's Connecticut and Massachusetts.
Okay.
I think it's more fun to watch you guess what state you're looking at. And the thing is, Ted could be lying to us.
We don't even know.
Because at some point, you're like, I don't know the state. I'll just say Pennsylvania.
Might have been Rhode Island.
Well, the smaller states are easy because they did put a letter next to two letters next to
it. Ah, okay.
I know it's very, like, you make fun of well-done steaks and this and that. At the end of the day, I still eat a well-done steak. I used to order well-done. Like, some people, like, it takes time to kind of get into that and really want to taste beef. And also, like, Miles, you've brought this up before, but, like, when I was a kid growing up, like, we got cheap cuts of steak. You don't want to eat those medium or rare.
The hardest thing I have about a well-done steak, and it's not me, but it's when I'm cooking it. It seems to me the people who like well-done steaks always get the filet mignon.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Which is the hardest steak to cook well-done. So it's just the process.
Because there's no bone to heat.
Every,
I mean, you're
right, every time I think I got it, like I'm not a cut in, I'm like, golly, you know? So that's the only thing.
I think a part of it, too, is that when I used to order, and I did exactly that. I'd get a well-done filet because I didn't really know steak or really like it enough. So it was like, ooh, I'm scared of fat, or you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're like, I want the one with no fat and make it well done. Whereas like now I'll probably get like a medium ribeye. If I got a filet, it's, you know.
If I overcook a steak at home, it's not the worst thing that's ever happened.
I cut it up and make a sandwich.
You know, something like that.
That's always my thing, right?
That's what I'm saying.
That's a good idea.
You can still eat steak.
Right.
And I'm not saying I overcooked earlier this week, but perhaps I did decide, you know what, instead of having a steak, I'm going to go ahead and shave this and put it on a big ass roll.
No, it's fine.
It happens. There's a tie between beets, bologna, sushi, turkey bacon. Four states all named that. Washington State said bologna.
I don't think turkey bacon's, of all the things that you could replace something with, K-Rabby or whatever. I mean, I know it doesn't taste like bacon. It's not the worst thing in the world. I don't mind it too much. Beets, on the other hand.
Beets are awful.
Beets are so ridiculous. Much prep work to get absolutely nothing out of it.
I'm with you. I can't stand beets. And I try to
skin them,
pro
cook
vegetable.
Them, you gotta boil them. You gotta
and somehow
cool
they
them,
just
gotta...
got like cool. And like, it's like the kale
but
thing.
Why?
Well, dude, you go to the Ballard's Farmer's Market, it's like 90% beets. And then like somebody's making like homegade candles or something.
Have you ever seen beet salad? I had never seen beet salad, right? So it looks like Jello, kind of, okay? I don't know this. I'm like 15 years old. My mom drags me to this dinner party with her boss, all right? And this woman has white linen napkins. It's that kind of thing. So you grabbed your own food, and she had, like, prime rib and some good stuff. I assumed that beet salad was just, like,
cranberry
sauce, Jello, right? I didn't know because nobody pointed out, so I put it on my plate, and it's the last thing I'm going to eat, right? And I intentionally ate everything else, and my mother had already warned me, be decent, because, again, you're 15, right? So I put this forkful of this beet salad on my mouth, and understand, I'm truly expecting something fruity or sweet, not what, it just tasted like mud. It was
bitter.
Like gelatinous mud, man. So I grabbed the white linen napkin, and my mom's sitting across from me, and she is staring at me, right? And all she's saying with her eyes is like, do not spit that into the white linen napkin. And I look back at her, I'm slowly putting it toward my face, because we don't want to call attention to our situation. And her eyes are getting more and more narrow as the napkin's getting closer to my face. And I'm like, I know she's going to kill me, but this can't be in my mouth. And finally, I just kind of... She kicked me into the... She was so mad. I said, look, I'm not trying to be... She's like, you know what's going to stain the napkins? I'm like, look, I don't know that, Mom. I don't know what that was. But it was in my mouth. And I think it may have been poisoned or something. She's like, no, it's beets. I'm like, beets are horrible.
It stains your urinary tract. So yeah, of course
years
it's
ago when
the
beets
napkin.
Got really cool, I was somewhere with somebody and it was like a family style setting.
Yeah.
So they ordered beets and I hadn't had them. And I had ever had them. Mm-mm-mm. And I was like, God, these suck.
Yes. I agree with
my buddy
beets.
Was like, oh, you just don't like vegetables. I was like, no, I eat vegetables. Like
these are not vegetables.
These suck.
Yeah.
It's a
horrible root vegetable.
Yeah, I saw my buddy's kid once. We thought he puked, but he was peeing down his shorts, but it was all beet or crapping, but it was beet color.
God.
Right. It's like, what is that pink foam coming out of your kid?
Pepto. Cotton candy, Ted.
That's the sales pitch for beets.
Oh, we were outdoors, picnic tables at a brewery. I mean, he's picking them up, and there's just beet juice.
Shooting out his backside.
Another round.
I did find it funny. Some people put sushi on there. I'm like, all right. Like, I get that people are scared of sushi.
Sure.
Right? I, again, been through that phase.
Everybody.
I had people in my family that refused sushi. But can you say you hate something you've never actually eaten?
No. That is a good point.
No. Yeah. Just get shrimp tempura sushi. You'll love it. Mm-hmm. It's a cooked shrimp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
California roll.
Also, for people that don't like bologna, I highly suggest you fry bologna. Put it on a sandwich.
Filet.
Five states said they hate eggplant, which I can fathom.
Sure.
Until Miles helped me out here. I need a little eggplant parmesan.
Ooh.
Strong. Oh, that's good.
Yes, sure, you smother it in sauce and parmesan. Jeez,
yeah. Well, you got to pan fry it first, too.
Yeah, I bread it all up. Delicious. So good.
Well, I don't know how you did it at your place. I don't know how we do it at Slither. Tell you one thing. At Slither, no beets. We already went over this. 12 states of the hate anchovies. And then 13 states with the most hated food item. All right.
Green beans.
Oysters?
Not green beans, not oysters.
Jello mold.
No. A lot of people love these. There's different flavors of these, different colors of these. They show up in a lot of places. Mike absolutely loves them.
Jelly beans.
I don't know.
Olives.
Oh, okay.
Really? I like olives.
I know. But the thing is, too, is like everything about olives I should love. Like it's salty, briny.
Oh, like a tapenade?
Yeah. Oh, I can't stand them. I mean, I've told him like this. If I get a Supreme Pizza and there's black olives on it or somebody orders it, like, all right, I'll fight through it. But yeah, tapenade, not for this check.
Can't get enough of the Men's Room? Listen to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
I had a buddy coming to town, man. This was not too long ago. It was a couple years ago. And the first night he's going to stay in my place. And then after that, you know what I mean? He got a hotel because he was here for some type of work thing. Either way, just so happens, he's got another buddy who is also in town on a separate work event, but they're in town for the same weekend.
All right.
So we get a chance. We're going to hook up with them. And this is like on maybe it was a Saturday, whatever it was. So me and him go out, and he's drinking double vodka sodas.
All right.
This is about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We go to a rooftop bar down here, we've been to before, and we start drinking. And then we're going to meet his buddy Dan later. We actually met down there at another time when we were, you know, whatever. So, but he's going to meet us later on once he gets checked into his hotel and everything. He's got an afternoon flight. He should be in by 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Right. Whatever. So my buddy just gets absolute, and I don't realize how hammered he's getting. But he is getting really, really hammered. And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. You know, it's going to be one of those nights. And with him, he's just, it's not that he's not responsible. It's just that he...
Isn't he like an angry kind of drunk or something?
No, I mean, he gets real loud and real boisterous. But either way, I'm still going to meet his friend and a guy I know too.
Right.
In a little while, but he's going down fast. All right. So I have this, you know, like, so do you have an Uber app? No, I don't have an Uber app. Why don't you have a freaking Uber app? You know what I mean? What do you got? Lyft? He's got nothing.
Yeah,
right?
Fair question.
So, okay, it is. This is an adult person, right? Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm like, oh God, you know, I'm staying. I'm not driving back to my house.
Right.
You know what I mean? Not at this point in the evening. There's no way. So I'm going to have to get him an Uber. And the more I think about it, the more I'm thinking about where he is, and just in his mind and in his body.
Mm-hmm.
I am not putting this on me.
No.
Not on my Uber account, right? So I make the determination. I said, look, man, told the Uber guy, I said, listen, you need to do a two-router here. I said, basically, we're going to go to my place, and then I'm going to need a ride back.
Put it back in the app, man. Got to get the address.
And that's what he's going to do. You know what I mean? He was one way, and then, you know what I mean? Then he could figure it out. So I the entire ride, he is being completely obnoxious. Talking crap to the driver.
Of course.
Like telling him what a piece of crap his car is. I mean, he was just gone.
Why?
For no reason.
He's drunk.
So I drag his ass into my living room, and I put him down on the couch, and I go back out to get the Uber to go back. That guy's gone. Now, that's okay. I can get another Uber. You know what I mean? It took about 15 minutes.
Sure.
Okay, for another Uber to come around. I get the Uber back. I go downtown. I meet with Dan. We have a good time. I explain to him that our buddy Scott is gone. I don't know if we can go back and wake him up. Well, we'll try to go back and wake his ass up, whatever the deal. So I hang with Dan. We get a couple more drinks in us, stay maybe for an hour and a half, 2 hours. Then we get into another Uber and go back to my place again. Now, I wake up that morning. Scott didn't wake up, by the way. He was
completely. Of course.
I get up the next morning, and I'm just curious about my Uber rating, which was spectacular, I might add, before that. Not that that really matters in anyone's, you know, mind. Or
it does when you want them to pick your ass up.
I went from a 5 to a 4. Like,
okay, let's not the worst.
Boom. I mean, like, it was, but it was still, like, I was afraid he's going to throw up in there.
Right.
I was afraid of all this stuff, and it's like, man,
I've known many a bartender, and these bartenders, you know, they have some regulars that'll close the bar, which is kind of, you know, par for the course, but every once in a while, someone goes in there and they're just messed up, and these bartenders are very kind, and they go, look, we're going to get you an Uber, and they don't really give it a second thought. They've got it on their phone. So they get an Uber, they get the guy's name, right, or girl, whoever it is, and they stuff them in the Uber and send them on their way. About 95% of them tell me, this is a mistake, because you don't think about it, but on a night that they are off and they just want to get an Uber to go out and do their thing for a change, Uber doesn't want to come around because they have like a 1.5 rating. And it has nothing to do with anything they did. But they realize in the course of a week, the 7 different people they got an Uber for trying to look out for the really drunk people either puked in the car or, like you said, talked all this smack to the driver. Driver doesn't know. He doesn't know if you are the Uber app owner. It's just, I gave you a ride.
And this
you
was a horrible experience.
Right, and so they gave a piss-poor rating, and a lot of bartenders have told me, they're like, and we're done doing it. And it's almost like a buddy like yours kind of ruins it for anyone else that maybe the bartender would get an Uber for, because they're like, look, I don't think you're a bad person, but I don't know what's going to happen from the time you leave.
I can't put you in this car and send you to where you're supposed to be.
Because you're already drunk.
And expect that you're going to make it there okay.
Right.
Like, I have to accompany you on this. There's no way that's what sucks. Like, you ruined my night. Yep. Because I got to babysit your ass to go back home because I don't trust you to even be able to, A, find where I live, be able to work the door. You know what I mean? Like the whole deal. So it's like, I got to go back. You know what I mean? And then he ruins my Uber rating.
That's better than,
damn it.
But you did the right thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you just sent him in an Uber home, then you're going to have a passed out dude.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So can I tell you what happened?
Like on the concrete or something in front of him.
So then we figured, okay, we're going to go back to my place. Get his ass, see if he's okay, try to wake his ass up, whatever the deal is. So we get there, he's gone. So the first thing I start scouring the neighborhood, because we hit a couple bars there before we went downtown. So I start scouring the neighborhood, the places we went to see if he's back there. He is not back there. Mm-hmm. We cannot get a hold of him on his phone. I don't know where he is, right? His bag is gone. He was supposed to spend the night with me.
Oh, wow.
Everything's gone. So this is what happened, apparently. He thought that he was spending the night at the hotel that night.
All right.
So what does he do? He gets in a cab, all right, and he goes down to the hotel room that he's supposed to be in the next night, tries to check in. They won't check him in because he doesn't have a reservation right. until the next night, all right? So what does he do? He goes to Deja Vu. So at this point in time, you know what I mean? Like,
he goes to a strip club?
He's in a strip club. Hammered. I mean, you know, hammered. I mean, gone hammered. He still needs to spend the night in my place.
Right.
So I'm trying to convince the doorman, like, hey, man, is there some jackalope in here? He's like, oh, your buddy. He's in a private room. And I'm just like, you know what? Dan, this is on you tonight. Like, yeah. You got to babysit this. I'm done. You know what I mean? He's got his bag somewhere. I don't know where it is. I'm out. So, like, I saw him, like, a day and a half later after his convention.
Right. You know what I mean?
Like, on a Sunday afternoon, like, you all right? He's like, yeah, man, a great time. It's a great city. Had so much fun. It was like, nothing happened. It's like, nothing happened.
Right.
Nothing happened.
You didn't do anything.
No, it was great. I love this place. It's awesome. Who ruined the good times for everyone else? 206-421-ROCK. It's like, come on, man. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, is people, whenever you travel, it's just a different energy.
It absolutely
is. You get fired
is.
Up. You get excited.
Right.
You do, especially if you're traveling alone or if it's a boys' weekend. Like, if I'm with the kids, it's like, all right, I'm kind of drinking all day, but at no point are you doing shots. You're not getting drunk. You just kind of keep a smoothie on, right? And sure, when they go to bed, like, I'm going to hammer them down. But if it's us, like going back to San Diego, like, look, because my wife starts, what'd you guys do? I'm like, what do you think we did? Like, we don't really go out and get into trouble. We found a bar, especially in San Diego, because it's very comfortable, you know, half inside, half outside. And we drank all day long. And we met 10,000 different people, and we drank with them, and we had fun with them. Then you know what we did? We had to remember where our hotel was, what the name of it was. We eventually found it, and then we passed out.
Yeah.
And you know what we did the next day? We got them started drinking again. Like, that's pretty much all we do,
I vaguely remember this, but not all the way remember this. I do remember buying a Mexican wrestling mask. And so I wore this thing for like 3 hours in Old Town. They're hot, by the way. Don't get me wrong. I mean, you sweat your ass off. But I just thought it was funny to sit there with a mask on and drink. And then there's pictures of us. And I'm in the cab. And I'm still wearing the mask. I don't remember a lot of that. I know I walked into the hotel room with a mask on. People were just like, what is wrong with this guy?
Right, because
they sell all kinds of crap in Old Town. You can buy whatever the hell you want. You
know what I mean? I kind of respect that, though. Buy a mask.
Wear it. I wore it the whole day. It was like,
you got your use out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I've definitely bought some cheesy T-shirts or whatever and been like, I'm wearing it.
And then, like, why did I think, what was the last one I bought? Somewhere in Florida, I was drunk and it just said, I can't remember, but it ends with, it's like a political thing, but it just said, like, go F yourself, I approve this message. And I'm like, yeah, I'm wearing that. About 2 hours later, I'm like, why didn't anyone talk me out of her? I feel like an a-hole.
Yeah, right, I'll show them.
Right.
They'll read it on my shirt. Right.
Connect with the Men's Room on Instagram at Men's Room Live.
Game is up, Big Dummy, 206-421-ROCK.
Big Dummy!
Hello, Eastwood. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola!
Eastwood, are you sober or not sober?
I'm not sober. I've been smoking some of his filthy wife from up here at Base Yard, Snickle Fritz.
Okay. All right, Eastwood, our men's room poll. You got to camp for a week in a tent. Will you be in the African savannah, the Australian outback, Mount Everest Base Camp, or Yellowstone National Park?
I thought Yellowstone, most of it was in Wyoming. That's what I thought. But I'm going down for the outback, man. And, you know, and then I check out some women after camping out in the weeds.
Okay.
They'll be happy to hear that.
Eastwood's here, finally.
So my birthday was last Saturday, May 30th, which from 1870 until 1970 woman was my birthday. I thought everybody got a day off because I was born. So I wanted to give a shout out to my brother-in-law, David Orange, Sergeant David Orange. He was sergeant in the U.S. Army, and he was also sergeant for the Seattle Police Department for their gang squad. And then also Matthias Cruz, chief warrant officer, 26 years service.
You don't email those guys, do you?
I mean, are we how you communicate with, like, are they going to call and be like, I want to give a shout out to Eastwood, grab a gallon of milk?
Yeah, well, Matthias was investigating Deidre for some inappropriates as a massage therapist, and he's working for, you know, the housing DSHS, and so
I told him I was going to mention him. He said, yeah, he's a chief warrant officer, 26 years, has fought in many wars and has many ribbons. And so I told him I'd mention him. He said, go ahead, son. And then David just needed a shout out for all those Seattle police officers. Remember David Orange from the gang squad? He was about.
It's almost like talking to my wife. You know, hey, baby, yeah. How was your day? And then this happens.
Just goes. That just goes. It's like a wind up rabbit.
Because May 30th, you know, is birthday, but now they're making a 3-day weekend.
Okay.
Hawaii's trying to pass legislation to make it original so we can honor our soldiers. Hey, so God bless them.
Yeah. Hey, what, do you want to play Big Dummy?
And the killer, man. Clinton Charles Copeland, he was the head of the Teamsters local for 24 years, 174 largest block in the Pacific Northwest. You know, so God bless the killer, man.
All right, he's with question number one.
My question, we'll go for it. I'm going to go for the Outback. Man, down there with the snakes. I got a big knife, K-bar, man. I'll fight them off, and I got guns. Well, most of my guns is the Mason County Police got my pistol. I got to get it back from last summer, but I'll get it.
Question number one.
Okay, let's go.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting. What common...
I love you, Jeez. Man. You're still my hero. Hero, man. You're always the top of the list. God creates you to give to him.
I think I'm flattered, but I'm not sure. Let me absorb that.
Man. No, that's from the heart, man.
No, that's why I don't absorb it. I believe you, brother. I do. I really do.
Okay.
All right.
Next is Ted, man, because he always likes me.
Next to Ted.
Thanks, Eastwood.
You're the best. Well, yeah. I like this guy more. But.
Well, you're his hero next to me.
Next to you, yes. I'm Robin.
Maybe I'm next.
You know, you gotta stick him. He's the one who told me to keep calling in, you know.
Who?
I did.
I saw him down there at Legion one time. He keeps calling in. He's good, so here I am.
In no way are we going to beat Ted with soap and socks later.
Yeah, I'm sure with soap.
All right, here's your question. What common and important household item uses the synthetic element americium?
Common and important household item uses the element americium.
Mm-hmm. I probably said.
Household item.
Mike says there's no way you get this.
I don't know.
Any idea, Mike? Smoke detectors.
Smoke detectors.
Yes.
Okay. Americium. Okay.
Keep that in mind.
Huh.
All right.
That was proactive.
Eastwood, here's your question. I hate I'm going to ask you this. It's multiple choice, okay? So a new study asked people about the worst sex they ever had. What percentage of people said that their current partner is, in fact, the worst sex that they've ever had? 25, 50, 75, or 100%?
Nah, I'd go mid-road 50%.
Okay!
Wow!
Well done.
Man, oh man, very good, Eastwood. There you go. Two and done.
People are so split on Eastwood. People either love him or hate him, but everyone goes like, yeah, he's all right.
Eastwood's a bit like, sometimes like a family guy.
That's someone like, said it reminds me of Boomhauer.
Or I was just going to say, like, sometimes you're like, what is he talking about? But then it just keeps going. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you're like, oh, you know what? That is pretty funny. I'm glad he's here.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
All right, we made it to drinking time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the Men's Room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. Today we toast a 28-year-old woman, unidentified, in Vancouver, British Columbia. Now, she got busted for drunk driving at 5 o'clock in the morning this past Saturday. Basically, she went through a DUI checkpoint, failed the breathalyzer test, went through all the rest of the tests. The cops, they finally gave her a ticket, and they said, look, we're not going to take your ass to jail. It's the Canadian way. Call someone to pick your ass up. We'll do the court date later. So she makes a phone call. As it happens, she has an identical twin sister. So about half an hour later, her twin sister showed up in another car and also got a DUI because not only was she drunk, she was drunker than the woman that she was picking up. So the cops haven't said how drunk each of them were, but the second sister did even worse on the breathalyzer. And the point is, she drove there.
At 5 a.m.
At 5 a.m. to pick up a drunk sister. Now, that's not clear who they call to pick them up after that, but the cops still give you that option, like, okay, is there another person we can call to pick you up? That person was sober enough to take them home, but they're now both dealing with drunk driving charges. I just like the fact that they're like, hey, man, just call someone to pick you up, right? And then your drunk ass sister.
It's an identical twin.
It is an identical twin.
I mean, they were probably out together.
I'm assuming, because at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know what I mean? Like, if I show up within 30 minutes, chances are we were out together. But either way, their court date.
Yeah, I mean, even if you've been asleep for a couple hours, like, that ain't going to cut
drinking,
it.
Drinking? Yeah.
5 a.m., you're still going to.
Hell yeah. Assuming they party like us. But let's drink, speaking of which. We pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bitchola!
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Aw, man!
A Double Flush production.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Game is up, Big Dummy. 206-421 Rock.
Big Dummy!
Hello, Eastwood. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola!
Eastwood, are you sober or not sober?
I'm not sober. I've been smoking some of his filthy wife from up here at Base Yard, Snickle Fritz.
Okay. All right, Eastwood, our men's room poll. You got to camp for a week in a tent. Will you be in the African savannah, the Australian outback, Mount Everest Base Camp, or Yellowstone National Park?
I thought Yellowstone, most of it was in Wyoming. That's what I thought. But I'm going down for the outback, man. And then I check out some women after camping out in the weeds.
Okay. They'll be happy to hear that.
Eastwood's here, finally.
So my birthday was last Saturday, May 30th, which from 1870 until 1971 was my birthday. I thought everybody got a day off because I was born. So I wanted to give a shout out to my brother-in-law, David Orange, Sergeant David Orange. He was sergeant in the U.S. Marine, Army, and he was also sergeant for the Seattle Police Department for their gang squad. And then also Matthias Cruz, Chief Warrant Officer, 26 years service.
You don't email those guys, do you?
I mean, are we how you communicate with, like, are they going to call and be like, I want to give a shout out to Eastwood, grab a gallon of milk?
Yeah, well, Matthias was investigating Deidre for some inappropriates as a massage therapist, and he's working for, the housing DSHS. And so I told him I was going to mention him. He said, yeah, he's a chief warrant officer, 26 years, has fought in many wars and has many ribbons, and so I told him I'd mention him. He said, go ahead, son. And then David just needed a shout-out for all those Seattle police officers. Remember David Orange from the gang squad? He was about...
It's almost like talking to my wife. You know, hey, baby, how was your day? And then this happened.
Just goes. It just goes. It's like a wind-up rabbit.
Because May 30th, his birthday, but now they make it a three-day weekend.
Okay.
Hawaii's trying to pass legislation to make it original so we can honor our soldiers. Hey, so God bless them.
Yeah. Eastwood, you want to play Big Dummy?
And the killer, man. Clinton Charles Copeland, he was the head of the Teamsters local for 24 years, 174 largest block of Teamsters in the Pacific Northwest. Now, so God bless the killer, man.
All right, Eastwood, question number one.
My question, we'll go for it. I'm going to go for the outback. Man, down there with the snakes. I got a big knife, K-bar, man. I'll fight them off, and I got guns. Well, most of my guns is the Mason County Police got my pistol. I got to get it back from last summer, but I'll get it.
Question number one.
Okay, let's go.
I'm sorry to keep you waiting. What common...
I love you, man. You're still my hero. Hero, man. You're always the top of the list. God's creation is a gift to us, man.
I think I'm flattered, but I'm not sure. Let me absorb that.
No, that's from the heart, man.
No, that's why I'm absorbing. I believe you, brother. I do. I really do.
Okay.
All right.
Next is Ted, man, because he always likes me.
Next to Ted.
Thanks, Eastwood.
You're the best. Well, yeah, I like this guy more. But.
Well, you're his hero next to me.
Next to you, yes. I'm Robin.
Maybe I'm next.
You know, you gotta stick him. He's the one who told me to keep calling in,
Who?
I did.
I saw him down there at Legion one time. He keeps calling in. He's good, so here I am.
In no way are we going to beat Ted with soap and socks later.
Yeah, I'm sure I was sober.
All right, here's your question. What common and important household item uses the synthetic element americium?
Common and important household item uses the element americium.
Mm-hmm.
Household item.
Mike says there's no way you get this.
I don't know.
Any idea, Mike? Smoke detectors. Smoke detectors.
Smoke detectors.
Yes.
Okay. Americium. Okay.
Keep that in mind.
Huh.
All right.
That was proactive.
Eastwood, here's your question. I'm going to ask you this. It's multiple choice, okay? So a new study asked people about the worst sex they ever had. What percentage of people said that their current partner is, in fact, the worst sex that they've ever had? 25, 50, 75, or 100%?
I'd go mid-road, 50%.
Okay!
Wow! There
well done. Man, oh man, very good, Eastwood. There you go, two and done.
People are so split on Eastwood. People either love him or hate him, but no one goes like, he's all right.
Eastwood's a bit like, sometimes like a Family Guy.
That's someone like, said it reminds me of Boomhauer.
Or I was just going to say, like, sometimes you're like, what is he talking about? But then it just keeps going. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you're like, oh, you know what? That is pretty funny. I'm glad he's here.
Connect with the guys. Find the Men's Room at facebook.com/themensroom. Now, back to the Men's Room on the Men's Room Radio Network.
All right, we made it to drinking time.
Somebody out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is. So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drink time it is, and as usual, we head to the drink desk and Steve at Throw Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. Today we toast a 28-year-old woman, unidentified, in Vancouver, British Columbia. Now, she got busted for drunk driving at 5 o'clock in the morning this past Saturday. Basically, she went through a DUI checkpoint, failed the breathalyzer test, went through all the rest of the tests. The cops, they finally gave her a ticket, and they said, look, we're not going to take your ass to jail. It's the Canadian way. Call someone to pick your ass up. We'll do the court date later. So she makes a phone call. As it happens, she has an identical twin sister. So about half an hour later, her twin sister showed up in another car and also got a DUI because not only was she drunk, she was drunker than the woman that she was picking up. So the cops haven't said how drunk each of them were, but the second sister did even worse on the breathalyzer. And the point is, she drove there.
At 5 a.m.
At 5 a.m. to pick up a drunk sister. Now, that's not clear who they called to pick them up after that, but the cops still give you that option. Like, okay, is there another person we can call to pick you up? That person was sober enough to take them home, but they're now both dealing with drunk driving charges. I just like the fact that they're like, hey, man, just call someone to pick you up, right? And then your drunk-ass sister
shows up. It's an identical twin.
It is an identical twin.
I mean, they were probably out together.
I'm assuming, because at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know what I mean? Like, if I show up within 30 minutes, chances are we were out together. But either way, their court date.
Yeah, I mean, even if you've been asleep for a couple hours, like, that ain't going to cut
drinking,
it.
Drinking? Yeah.
5 a.m., you're still going to.
Hell yeah. Assuming they party like us. But let's drink, speaking of which. We pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies. Down the hola, bitchola!
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Men's Room podcast. Want more of the Men's Room? The greatest story never told with Miles and Thrill.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.